always get nervous. Like, and when you ask me this question, I cannot think any other kind of paper, passport and visas. I have to prove that somebody is inviting me that country, or I have already scheduled my hotels. I have done all my reservations. I have to prove that I have certain amount of money with me and also on my bank account. This is important. I think it's impossible. Like, it's really impossible. Because I mean,
I'd really like to design a Palestinian passport. I'd probably put black olives and oranges, like polka dots, on the cover. And maybe on the inside, I'd have like my grandmother's face kind of grayed out. Where the eagle usually goes, I'd like my grandmother's face on there. Maybe all the grandmothers and the grandfathers that were forced out of their homes. You know, they live on with us today in so many ways.
Most of what I relate to is the pain of their identities. For example, my mother having to have left Iran after the revolution, and the Iran she grew up in doesn't exist anymore. The longing that she had for Iran is what I relate to. For my father, the pain of his family being murdered in Europe and leaving Europe wanting a better life away from anti-Semitism.
I'm born in the UK and I had a UK passport. That was the first passport I had and the only passport I had for a very long time. But I've only spent a short amount of my life in the UK and I'm not attached to, you know, the homeland where my parents are born, in Pakistan. I need a visa to go back there. Yet now that I live in Canada or the US, or the potential of living in those two spaces, those papers still don't really identify me or the multiple experiences and identities that I have.
Transparent thing, where who I am is who I am in that moment at any given time. So it's not, you know, the stamp of anything. Like, I thought for a second when you were saying, I mean, I'd like it to say that I'm a writer. I'd like it to say that what my passion is that, like, if you don't know me, like, that would be the first thing I want you to interact with. But at the same time, like, if it's an idea of, like, that allow you to pass through places, the now and who I am is my ID at the moment. So in that sense, it's like this transparent thing that maybe has my fingerprints, and that's it.
I think there are so many different experiences that come with someone questioning why you have this green visa on your Canadian passport. For me, it brings up this idea of, like, I still need a visa to go to a country that is expected to be the closest to who I am. I have a connection to Pakistan, but it's not the place where I'm most at home. I don't know where I'm most at home.
I wish we don't have to show something to pass a border, because, like, everyone, like, even not human beings, like, even birds or, I mean, cats. I mean, like, animals, we can move from one part of the world to other part of the world.
On most days, I feel like I am a human being who's asked to define themselves in so many ways because of the different contexts that you're in. And so I was one thing when I was in Lebanon, and I feel like I'm another thing here, because in Lebanon I'm, let's say, a writer, and here I'm a Lebanese writer. In Lebanon I'm a woman, and New York, I'm an Arab woman. And that, not to say that they negate one another, but it just feels to me like these labels sort of have different they play different roles in different places. So what I am is many things and one thing all at the same time.
Yeah, I think that whole gamut of what you just said reminds me that, yes, I actually do get asked who am I by a lot of people. And I think it is because I'm a person of color. And I think there is, there just as our history has developed in the United States, I just think that there's both formal obligation, but also I think the construction of this country has placed particularly white individuals with the power informally to interrogate individuals about who they are as a form of power, as a form of of otherizing. So yeah, I think I get a lot of who are you and where are you from?
In my mind, first world's America. They're open. So you get to the passport control, and the first thing they slam dunk. It's like, why are you here? What are you coming to study? Do you plan on staying here after you're done? Are you planning on visiting home often? You're like, I don't know. Like, I don't know where I am. I really don't know where class is. I don't know anything. So it was very scary. But also you somehow feel like you did something wrong, although you just landed in the United States. Like, that's all I did. So it was scary. Now I'm more used to it than I expected, so it's like managing expectations is always a different approach to that. But I'm always like, you know, if I do one wrong move, I feel like, and like I try to be like so casual at the counter, like he's like, if I'm too cool, he's gonna think I like I got this, so that I'm not thought of as suspicious. Like I feel it coming my way, so I try to behave in the most, avoid it.
Gave me a middle name out of the Quran. My middle name is Taha, and I've gotten stopped in airports because of this and asked names of my family members. And they asked me about my father's father. His name is Zoltan. He was a Hungarian Holocaust survivor. And they said, Sultan, that sounds Arabic. I said, no, it's not. But your mother is Iranian, they said.
The United States, and the way that it surveils people in stalker, in the sense of a male heterosexual stalker. And so it's the same thing that I think women have to confront when, you know, they're walking down the street by themselves, it's dark, and they don't know where they're at, and you're not sure what a man is doing, like, you know, walking by, behind you, and it's that like low-intensity questioning of, like, this, I feel uncomfortable. And I think the state is kind of like that, like a almost takes on the stalker, predatory stalker kind of mode, and I think that's kind of what it feels like, to be pretty honest with you. Like, I don't like that you know that, you know, about me, and what are you looking up? Do you have photos of me? And it's just the very act of seeing things when I don't give you active consent is a very uncomfortable thing, especially because they have power, they have guns on them, and it's just like, you know, probably 99% of the time nothing's going to happen, but it's an unsettling in the same way that a stalker, the unknown stalker, can be an unsettling idea.
I am constantly viewed with suspicion, and not just me, but, you know, my siblings, my cousins, my parents, like all of these people that I'm associated with are constantly viewed with this lens of suspicion. Like, are you violent? Do you hate me? Are you just constantly angry and you're doing these oppressive things to your own women, to your own people? There is no real understanding of people's individual lives and experiences.
To get the Canadian nationality, to become a Canadian, I must pledge allegiance to the Queen of Great Britain, which I thought was going to be the most difficult part of this, because I will be pledging allegiance to the Queen of the British Empire, which was directly involved in making my grandparents refugees to start with.
For me, it's not just identifying with a place, it's identifying with experiences. I might relate to someone who is born in a completely different part of the world, but has also had to kind of reckon with that understanding of place and birth and identity, and really come together with it through celebrating those most those joyous parts of our cultures and of multiple cultures that are really like beautifully expressing themselves in many different ways, where there's history, there's architecture, there's ancient civilization that's coming back into how we form ourselves, how we form our sense of ourselves, how we